is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
St. Mary's Church, Az Zawiya Al Hamra, that is a lower middle class neighborhood in northern Cairo. And suddenly a foundling, a one-day-old baby, male, wrapped and abandoned. The year is 2018. This begins a tale by Sam Tadros, a Middle East scholar, for us to understand how the Christians, especially the Coptic Christians, are regarded and treated and disdained in modern Egypt, a troubled state with huge population in Cairo, and one of them now, in 2018, is a one-day-old baby, Shanuda. Sam, a very good evening to you. I told myself halfway through your story, this better have a happy ending, so I'm going to tell everybody right now, this has a happy ending. The priest of the middle of St. Mary's Church, he makes a decision that I would say is comparable to Solomon. What does he decide, and who are the happy couple who win the prize? Good evening to you, Sam.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to join you. As you said, it's a story that thankfully has a happy ending in the case of Shanuda. The story begins with this one-day-old child that is left and abandoned in St. Mary's Church bathroom. And the priest, at a loss at what to do with such a child, remembers that he has an older couple in the church that have been praying for years, asking God to give them a child. They weren't able to conceive a child. And Amal Mikhail, at the time, aged 47, and her husband, Farouk Boulis, aged 51. And after a quarter century of marriage, they didn't have children. The priest, no one asked for the child, so he gives the child for this couple to raise him. And they immediately fall in love with him and take him as their own. They give him the name of Shanuda, the son of God in Coptic, a name that many saints of the church have carried throughout the years. We see pictures of him in these years as a baby, as a young child that's happy with his family. They, of course, don't tell him that he's taken or that he was abandoned as a child. He's only 4 years old by the time that the story really begins in 2022, but they really raise him as their own. They, however, cannot legally adopt him, since adoption is prohibited in Islam and hence illegal in Egypt. And thus they are forced, in order to allow him to enter school and have a normal life, to acquire paperwork illegally in the country with a birth certificate that names him as their son.
So he is named Shanuda Boulos. That's his name, yes, at school. And that is not a legal name because he is a one-day-old child, but he doesn't have a religion at one-day-old, to my understanding. But still, there is no adoption in Islam, and this is a state run by Sharia law, in part by Sharia law. Do the Christians, do the Coptic Christians adopt children?
No, they're not allowed to legally adopt because the law of the land prohibits adoption completely.
And so what we have here is a quandary. This is the part where it became a Dickens novel, Sam. Okay, okay. Enter the niece, Maryam. Who is she and why is she unhappy?
So she's Farouk's niece. Again, the thing about Shanuda's story is that it's not just simply a one-child story. It gives us these glimmers, these episodes that make us understand how Egypt is run and the predicament that the Copts are facing. The Copts in Egypt, they're governed in their inheritance by Islamic Sharia law, meaning that if someone has a son and a daughter, the son gets double what the daughter receives in inheritance. If someone doesn't have a son, then his relatives, according to Islamic Sharia, depending on the various rules of Sharia, would inherit it. So Maryam, the niece of Farouk, the father of Shanuda, realizes that now her inheritance is going to be impacted. She's not going to get money when her uncle dies. So she goes to the police station and reports the couple, saying that this is not their son. They've illegally acquired paper to make him their son. And once the government does a DNA test, they determine that Shinoud is not their biological son. And immediately we again get this idea of where Sharia law enters into the process. The public prosecutor, having a child with unknown parents, simply determines that the child is a Muslim, because any child that we don't know his parents is to be automatically a Muslim, because Islam is the religion of nature according to that understanding. So suddenly Shinouda is not only taken away from the only parents he's known throughout those 4 or so years, but is transferred to a government orphanage and given a new name, Yusuf Abdullah Muhammad.
I stop right here. The prosecutor decides all this. He decides that this is a Muslim child, that Muslim childs cannot be with Coptic parents. That's what he decides.
And yes, definitely.
It cannot, no matter what. No charity.
It cannot,
no,
because the child would have to be raised in the, quote, correct religion, Islam.
I see.
And the Coptic parents wouldn't raise him as a Muslim.
This would not be credible except for the discrimination practiced every day against the Copts. Is that correct, Sam?
Yes. It's this story gives us all these episodes or all these glimpses into the reality of how Sharia creeps into every aspect of life governing the Christians of Egypt.
All right, we turn the page, a new chapter. 7 months later, Amal and Farouk are exhausted. They've been looking everywhere for a way to get their son back. He's in an orphanage. He's abandoned. He doesn't know where his parents are. Who are they going to? Who are they talking to? Who can they appeal to?
They for 7 months, they tried everything. It didn't work with the government. So they finally appeal to the media. We have a growing Coptic media in Egypt today, and a Coptic journalist picks up the story and in September publishes the story. And after that, once the story becomes public and there's a lot of attention to it, because, I mean, it's outside of the religious aspects of it, it's a tragic story for a young child who's taken away from the only parents that he has known and thrown into a government orphanage. Obviously, parents are much better than being thrown in that orphanage. So a lawyer, another Coptic lawyer, takes the case, and the Egyptians are following this remarkable story. The newspapers, not just the Coptic ones, but the Egyptian media is following it closely, and everyone is impacted with it, not just Copts. Many Muslims express their belief that the child should be returned to his parents. Although, of course, we also get people with comments like, if they want him back, they can simply convert to Islam and that would solve the problem.
I see.
But
it goes to court now, or was it already?
It goes to court. The court case is repeatedly delayed, session after session. Finally, in March, we get supposedly the verdict. And the court simply decides that it has no jurisdiction in the case, returning us basically to square once again with no conceivable means of Shinouda being reunited with his parents.
So the state now has no solution for a Shinouda. Shinouda is abandoned. At this point, we, again, remember we're telling a real story, but it reads like a novel. Something happens at the administrative level in Cairo, and I have to believe it was the media. Is the Coptic media strong enough to reach into the palace?
I think it wasn't just the Coptic media that covered him. The whole Egyptian media basically covered the story because of the fascinating details, the emotional aspect. I mean, every couple of days you see pictures of the mother crying. She offered to work as a servant in the orphanage in order to take care of her son. It's a human tragedy that people were impacted by. And then the government basically changed course. We'll never know what happened. Was it the media pressure? Did someone reach to the president and tell him, this is looking silly for Egypt, why not end it? Was it the mounting public pressure? We'll never know really the truth of what happened. But suddenly we had a religious edict, a religious fatwa by the official Islamic authorities in Egypt that basically found this obscure opinion from some jurists a couple of centuries ago that said, yes, if a child is found within a church or amongst Christians, that child is Christian.
So
this is obviously not a universal view among the Islamist jurists, but it was enough for the government basically to use that in order to then bring the parents, tell them you can take him temporarily until paperwork is worked. He'll keep the name Shenouda. He can be Shenouda Farouk. Adoption is still illegal in Egypt, but at least he will return to his parents and be raised by them.
So he's no longer Yusuf Abdullah Muhammad. He's Shenouda Baloos.
Something. They're going to find some common Christian name and give him just undetermined parents and just some random names as family name.
You fill in some details here because we've told the heartbreaking story that turns out to be a success. However, we skip some steps here. How did it get this way? You start with Napoleon Bonaparte 200 years ago. Shenouda's going to enjoy this. How does Bonaparte play into this?
Well, in a sense, not just Shenouda's story, but the modern history of the Middle East really starts at that moment when Napoleon lands in Alexandria in 1798. Because until that moment, the Muslim world had been under the conviction of its supremacy, of its success in the world. The armies of Islam had marched and conquered parts of the world. Constantinople had finally been taken by them in 1453. The anniversary was a few days ago. We have the armies of the caliph reaching the gates of Vienna twice. So there was this conception of the supremacy of Islam. And then the shock happens. Napoleon easily crushes the Muslim rulers of Egypt, and suddenly the whole region, and Egypt at the center of it, realizes that something is wrong with the world. The question that Bernard Lewis titled his book with, what went wrong? Why have they succeeded and we haven't? And what do we need to modernize? So in a sense, the whole story of the Middle East for the past 200 plus years has been an attempt at modernization. And in reality, that attempt at modernization has been a very unsuccessful one, because whether it's Egypt's rulers, intellectuals, or presidents, the political movements, the whole effort has been an attempt to how do we maintain Islamic conceptions of society, of economics, of politics, of law, while modernizing. And the result has been conflicting system, a system built on a contradiction, right, where you get French laws where coupled with Sharia, where you get conceptions of equal citizenship for all Egyptians, at the same time maintaining systems of supremacy and domination.
Shenouda tells the story in one happy ending, but we're going to turn to a question that cannot be answered. How many Coptic Christians in Egypt are there? How many Coptic Christians are there on planet Earth? This turns out to be a political debate. Sam Chadros, a Middle East scholar, writing of Shenouda and all the rest over the last 200 years. I'm John Batchelor.